Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron, and that is Taisha Tari with Karanga. And here in the studio, I've got Naranō Renata. Good morning.
Atamari e te whānau whānui o Whaingaroa. And as I always say, and beyond.
And beyond. And this is Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, so your fortnightly interviews managed to arrive on the right week.
Do you reckon?
Well, we would have had to just make it work otherwise, yeah. I feel. Yeah.
So I was just thinking this morning about the whakatauki, the wise saying, one of the wise sayings from our people is he waka eke noa. If we think of the journey that we take going forward, there's only one waka and we're all on it.
Mm.
And how we navigate that together is a really important tohu, a sign of our cohesion, being community, being hapuri, all those beautiful qualities that we desire as a family, as a whānau, as an iwi, as a hapu, to nourish that journey that we're all taking. And this particular week has got that focus towards the survival, the renaissance, once again, of our beautiful te reo rangatira, our chiefly language.
Mm. And you've been in the middle of this throughout your life, really, haven't you? Because you were involved with this movement in the schools to... I forgot the name of the schools.
Of the schools? I've been in
the Māori. The Māori land. No, specifically the Māori land.
Te Kura Kaupapa Māori.
Yes, Kura Kaupapa Māori. Yes, it completely escaped my brain there for a second, even though I've used the phrase for 30 years.
Te Kura Kaupapa Māori is a result of the resilience of those who stayed on the kaupapa for total immersion Māori schools to be established. And what an amazing achievement in... given the times that we live in, from the it actually began long before Te Kohanga Reo was given birth to in the early 80s by one of the rōpū that was significant at that time was Ngā Tamatoa.
Yeah.
And many voices, many academic Māori academics who gave very generously of their mātauranga to establish the reo, who had suffered from being rejected or in schools previously, were banned. Te reo was banned in their lifetime, so their whole experience of nurturing their home language, the mother tongue, was very deeply embedded in this sadness for them. You know, the likes of Dr. Ranginui Walker was one of those po. He was right there in the middle of that whawhai, we call it whawhai, and he wrote in some extraordinary scholarly material publications for us to feed from around all those things that make up a diverse culture, rich culture that we were.
And I remember him, and I can visualize him because he must have been in the media a lot in the 80s and 90s. And for Māori people who were the ones who were standing out in those days, that was like being a lightning rod, like Fire Eva here in Whangaroa.
Oh, absolutely. They were lightning the lightning rod. Bolts, and yeah. they were fearless.
But they attracted all the hatred of the people who didn't want this country to change.
And that's absolutely right. They dealt to it by...
That's tough.
It was tough. It was very tough, and they never showed it in terms of how it affected them and in their personal lives, because they knew what they were there for.
Do you remember those times, and was it different to see Māori leaders out there being unapologetic?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I thrived on it. I kind of wished it was me. No, I always wished it was me. I went, oh, she's so brave. That's so cool. Because the words that they spoke, the kupu that they gave to us in those public arenas, were already spoken in our, we, it was like they were speaking what we would say. Mm. They were the giving voice to our desires and wishes for our renaissance, mm. and they did it so eloquently. They were the kai kōrero. The kai kōrero is to frame the words and what you're going to say in a particular way. So to be a kai kōrero is a like a role, well, a significant role, generally of an older male, and that's where Eva and others like her came in and said, well, hang on a minute, I actually have not only something to say, I actually understand, you know, a lot of things that you're not even talking about. So she was so pivotal in inspiring us who were sitting under that. Well, it was tough. It was tough being silenced mm. on the fringes. I think they call it on the fringes. We're still there, you know. We're still not right in the centre. The centre poe. They're still talking. I mean, I listened to a program, a doco about the Aboriginal people. They still don't have their human rights, basic human rights.
It's different over there to here.
Well, they have no treaty.
Yeah.
I understand that according to, and the treaty, of course, it's a bilingual document. It was not, neither of the English document or the Māori document were written by Māori. The translation was not written by a Māori person.
Mm.
So you've got to really note those things and understand that at the time that, yeah, Henry Williams, who actually translated the treaty in, you know, he must have learned the reo from somewhere, because the kupu, tino rangatiratanga, is the kupu.
Well, that's an interesting thing.
But then that document that comes forward. Right.
That's an interesting thing, that the first Pākehā people to turn up actually learned Māori.
Oh, they were learning pre-treaty.
Yeah, they didn't turn up and expect everyone to learn English right away.
Oh, no, that like happened. That colonisation was a very deliberate code, and so one way of doing that was learn a few Māori words, because that Māori go, oh, you know my language. And we never questioned it, but we didn't really also, actually we were quite into a brotherhood, sisterhood, our people. They invited non-Māori to Aotearoa long before the treaty because they saw the benefits. Māori have always been entrepreneurial in that regard, so they didn't see colonisation. It wasn't like, oh, by the way, when they come here on their ships, they're actually going to colonise you and the land. We didn't.
Well, no one. Saw
we didn't
that.
See that.
No one here saw that coming. I don't know what. I'm sure the empire builders in England saw what was going to happen.
Yes, but we didn't. That wasn't how we saw the English when they, when we were negotiating marketing strategies around sharing. Well, they call them resources, but I prefer taonga tuku iho, which the land is not a resource. That's such not. Yeah.
We need another language to describe.
And the language to describe, it's a taonga, you know. Yeah. Papa Tuanuku, she's our mother.
Mm. So there was something I wanted to bring up, because it's just something I just saw this morning. So this was written last year. Last year, so it's 51 years. Last year was 50 years since the Māori language petition. 30,000 signatures calling for active recognition of Te Reo Māori was presented to Parliament. And that was on September the 14th. Which is why we have Māori Language Week this week.
Yeah, apparently
this is what I'm discovering this morning. So.
It's a significant document where to walk to Parliament and demand and command the attention again and say, nope, we want it at the whāriki level. We want it as a constitutional inheritance that we have. And we want you to have it in these documents.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. That was absolutely.
Like about the year I was born, so it wasn't
when
happening.
Was it? What year?
72. 1972. I was 1 year old.
So. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The magic that our people could gather from the far north and come down. And along the way, this social media in that time was by word of mouth.
Yeah,
still is. It yeah. still is the best way to receive the what's going down around the motu. So yes, it was such an inspiration, activism of a different kind. And I think we need to also, you know, understand this battle. And in the words of Ranginui Walker, who's one of his, you know, beautiful texts, is ka whawhai tonu mātou mo ake tonu. We will always fight for what we believe is, yeah, whawhai tonu. Whawhai is to fight. We will not give up the fight. And, it's proven to be so. But just changing tactics, we've sort of, yeah.
Well, there's a new the proliferation and learning of Te Reo Māori is a. Is, I don't want to call it a tactic that kind of belittles it, but that's what you're about at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's also embedded now in the law, of course, because we have three languages that are you know, official.
Official languages recognised by the government as official.
Yeah, and that's constitutional or it's embedded in. In our country.
For anyone who's just wondering now, what the heck's the third language? It's sign language, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And it's both the signing in English and in Māori. So they're looking for Māori signers all the time. One of my dear friend is, they're very few who sign in Māori, but it's a beautiful journey if you know, for those who are looking at how to, yeah. Well, looking at the signing.
I thought sign language was...
In English.
I thought it was universal, like one hand movement for each word. Oh, no, that wouldn't make sense because then the word... Yeah, okay.
No, well, there's... you sign in Māori.
It's complicated because some things like the word for eye, the word for nose, that could be the same.
Could be. I haven't learned it.
I know, but then you've got the grammar is different and some words are different... And then you have to be able to spell words as well, like spell names. I'm all trying to work this out on the air right now with my little brain. So,
yeah. So I celebrate that the way that was imported into our legal documents, the Te Reo, as part of that story coming forward, and it enabled too the building of bridges in education, so that we could have kura kaupapa Māori, which came out of Te Kohanga Reo. Te Kohanga Reo was really the seed, the kākano. But it, before that, so much had already happened. So giving birth to Te Kohanga, which is spring, it means spring, or Kohanga, dialectical differences, is that nesting. Te Kohanga Reo, so a place where the reo and all the tikanga associated with the language base will be nurtured. I was, you know, very fortunate to be in some very beautiful places in the far north, in Kaio, with the elders learning and the curriculum. Oh my God, the curriculum for early childhood wasn't Te Whariki for the Kohanga Reo movement. It was about life. So that we would go, I've beautiful memories of going to the puriri tree, and then he would say, "Haere mai, mokopuna ma," and off we'd go to these puriri trees. I said, "What are we doing here?" And she would, and our elder, Whaia Ada, Nanny Ada, she would show us how to get the grub, which is the puriri grub, out of this mature puriri tree, and tell us the pūrākau, the story. Yeah. About this grub that lived in there, which in the summertime, when it does its full cycle, becomes this pūrerehua, moth, pepetuna, this beautiful the pūrere moth, which we may never see many of going forward because, you know, the pūrere tree is threatened.
And we've got, I think we talked about, there's an episode where we talked about how you went as a young mother to the older woman in your area and said,
Oh, totally.
We want to learn. And totally. they were quite surprised, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Because I think when I arrived home, I looked more Indian and from Nepal, Nepalese.
Oh, right.
And I didn't speak the reo, but I spoke this Queen's English, which I still have today.
Well, you seem to cross through many worlds.
Oh, don't we all, I hope?
Well, some more than others, I think.
Well, I'd just been in India also.
Yes, of course,
And India had affected, as still does, India. That experience of living in India was so rich. And then to meet the Tibetan people and really understand, I went to Himachal Pradesh and to the temple, or the temple of the Dalai Lama. And I guess as a young Wahine Māori, travelling, I began to really understand, like, oh my gosh, the Tibetan people. I have so much respect for their kaupapa, for being, you know, what I learned at that time. Because they'd been there already 30 years in exile when I arrived, you know, and there they were. So holding space in Himachal Pradesh, the Himalayas, waiting for their Dalai Lama to come, because he wasn't, you know, he was sort of back in Tibet at the time. Boy, when he arrived, whoa.
Hey, we should, I've just seen a Waka Ama pull up outside.
So. You've got some more people to cordial to.
There's no rush. There's no big rush.
There's rush.
But I know that you want to talk about, we've got to talk about your classes that you're doing.
Yes. So I'm going to be the recruiting for a daytime class, which is on Rahina on Mondays during the morning. That will be my daytime class, and an evening class, probably Tuesday evening.
Okay.
I've just got to settle on it by the end of the day. And those two classes I want to offer to our community, hapuri, to take the journey together, you know, he waka eke noa, to learn our beautiful language. Probably sing it a bit too, a bit of singing, a bit of poetry, in the reo, bit of art, more from those ways of learning.
So are we beginners classes?
Because of my background, I actually have an extensive background in teaching the reo. So I'm wanting to navigate a more, you have beginners and mature, but I will know because I, you know, or have done my homework and to understand who's in front of me and who we in terms of the class situation, and I can provide for that.
Okay, and you tend to focus on like a kind of a topic or a subject
area? Kaupapa.
Yeah, the kaupapa,
and the kaupapa to begin will be Hine Putehue, will be around the growing of gourds.
Okay.
Who is to do with taonga pūoro, because the taonga pūoro are a significant part of my life, the traditional instruments. And yes, and just on that, of course, on Friday night at the Yard, there will be a collaboration with Oro Māori Collective. I hope there's room for me on the stage. There's beautiful Wahine Māori who come to their pukana and waiata, and I'm going, can I fit too?
It's not a big stage.
There's a few
so,
who have heard the karanga and are coming.
Right. So what will be? Give us more detail.
Mainly
of what will be
my
happening.
Daughters. Yeah. You know. Well, I'll say that mainly. We're the po. So and Ale, Alejandra, Komako Aroha, Fetuiti, and myself. And then Amelia's coming up from the South Island, and she'll join us. You know, magic. She got some magic. Well, not some, lots of magic to add to our evening.
Yeah.
We want to share that with our community.
So there'll be waiata, taonga pūoro.
Yes, and pūrākau.
Yeah.
Pūrākau, which is really a field that I speak to around storytelling.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Is that similar to something you guys did at Live and Local a few months ago?
Oh, no, that one was really a celebration of my mother's poetry.
Of course, yes.
And the waiata were to celebrate local waiata that had been gifted into our kete mātauranga. Ko te aroha te pau comes from Te Mauritau, You know, it has a whakapapa. And we love that. We love that rhythm of the aho, of where something comes from. You know, it's not just a waiata we heard online, or it's like, what's the whakapapa of this? You know, do you know, like, where does it come from? Who wrote it? How they wrote it? Like, te kākano, he kākano aho is one of those that, oh, there are many. There are so many, but that has a beautiful pūrākau story. That Stan sings, he kind of does a really beautiful version.
Stan Walker?
Yeah, of course.
Well, just in case somebody doesn't know.
Somebody else.
Yeah, well, I know.
He kākano aho, you know, and oh. No, it gives the word, the kupu, their richness if you understand the passion behind the poetry of the kupu.
Mm.
Yeah, hey. Agree.
So we're going to see that. So that's what night on the weekend at
yeah,
the yard?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Friday, Saturday? Oh, you don't know yet?
Ramire. It's on Friday evening.
Okay.
Friday, Ramire.
Okay. Doors open at what, 7, do we say?
6:30. Yeah, we'll start at 7. We'll start at 7. Very much at 7. I have to actually go and see our beautiful kaiwhakahaere, Naomi, because we've probably got more than an hour to offer.
Well, I'm sure people will stay. They've got lots of things happen. They've had a month off, and now there's lots of stuff happening this month at the yard. So, yeah.
Oh, right. And so, yeah, we're really looking forward to it because it's really an initiation for us.
Yeah.
As a rōpū, because we all vibe into different other opportunities that are offered constantly to, particularly the girls and Ale, for their musical and their creative expression. So I get to hang out with them, which is really cool.
You're clearly looking forward to it.
I am.
Did you want to just mention the Indigenous conference in
yes,
Canada
well, I,
at the moment, before we go?
I was really wanting to acknowledge, currently there are some amazing wahine Māori taonga pūoro artists who are in Canada for an Indigenous conference. It's the 7th Indigenous conference of this. It comes through, it's a regular event, and I just received some photos from them this morning, and it's beautiful. Beautiful what they're doing. They're going all that way with these extraordinary instruments that they have in their kete. That's another story about travelling with your taonga pūoro. Let me tell you, I haven't done it, but the stories they talk about crossing borders and you know, whether they're actually going to make it or whether they're going to be fumigated, is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's like made of organic materials. So.
Oh, yeah. Telling them you made it from the bone of a bird, you know, they go, what? What do you mean? Which? That is that bone?
Yeah, but how long ago, though? Surely that's relevant.
There are many challenges, depending on which borders. This whānau, that collective, Haumanu collective, which they cross, then they cross the borders.
Trying to bring things across this border into this country is challenging, something like that.
Yes.
We're terrified of letting any kind of organism in that wasn't here before.
Mm.
Yeah, okay, so that's a thing that's happening at the moment in the world.
Yeah, it is. And then there's been preparation right now is happening to do a ceremony at Roto Pounamu, which is one of the lakes. It's called Roto Pounamu, I think.
Where?
Below Tongariro.
Oh, okay.
Over that way.
Yep, down there somewhere.
Yeah, and it's to do with bringing into focus Tiriti or Waitangi and peaceful resistance, or not peaceful resistance, that's not the right word, kupu. More about acknowledgement of that as a founding document within our, which is part of who we are, as a dual cultural heritage that we have.
I should probably mention at this moment that Raglan Naturi is putting on another class on a Saturday in October soon.
That is something to look forward to.
Yeah.
One of the
I don't know which
there.
Day, it's just
the
in
14th?
October.
I think
it?
It's 14th. Okay. And she's a master of that understanding and transferring that understanding those people who are delivering that kaupapa.
I need to go to that one. I haven't been able to go to any of the others. Always been busy.
They're absolutely amazing.
This one I should be able to get to.
Okay, so
I must
sounds
make
cool.
sure I enroll in time, because they usually sell out's the wrong word, but they're usually pretty popular.
Sell out.
It's just selling out.
It's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, folks, we've been talking to Ngaronoa Renata, and it's Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, and you've got some if you want to learn, Ngaronoa has some classes
if
coming
you want
up. And we'll let you know when that is. You brought your phrase book in as well by Scotty Morrison.
Yeah,
do you
want
to mention that before we
Scotty
go?
Scotty Morrison, you know, like, he's a prolific writer in terms of writing about te reo and ways of learning te reo.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just want to acknowledge his work, you know. This one I have in front of me is called The Raupō Phrase Book of Modern Māori, Scotty Morrison. So it's a really, really useful pukapuka that you can invest in to learn the reo, you know, a pocket edition, nearly a pocket edition.
Big pocket.
Big pocket.
It's a novel size kind of book. Yeah.
Consider that you can read it at the airport, train station, bus station, or at home. Keep the kainga.
All right,
beautiful.
All right. Thank you for coming in.
Aye.
And we'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Aye. Kia hau maru koutou. Aye. Ka kite anō.